Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of our Dualistic Unity commentary series. We are currently going to be going back to episode 2, which is all about psychedelics and the subjective experience. We stopped about halfway through episode 2 last time. We're going to continue on from the halfway point. We were talking about religion and the resistance to questioning, the resistance to looking beyond the assumptions that make us feel comfortable, that give us that sense of security. And so I figure we'll take off from there. I'm going to pass it to Andrew first. Man, I love this commentary series. It's so much fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what else we say in the rest of this episode.
Oh, me too. I'm excited. I thoroughly enjoy these. We were talking before and you're like, so we don't have a guest today. Do you want to do regular classic or do you want to do commentary? And it's like commentary. Yeah, these are fun, and it's cool to see that. Yeah, just everything about it. So we've I don't need any sort of introduction to this one. I'm down to just get this bitch rolling.
Yeah, you were really quick on it. I'm like, did you want to record a commentary? Yeah. Like, all right, fair enough, we're doing that for sure. I share your enthusiasm. Let's go.
That's it. It's always, let's just continue questioning. And that offends people. And I love that particular part of offending people, because they don't have to be offended. They're not offended because I'm trying to be offensive. They're offended because they don't want to question. That's the simplest way to put it. And they get more offended when you mention that that's why they're offended, which is also kind of fun in its own way, right? But it is the way to perpetuate the conversation. And it's like I said before, like the old expression is, you don't talk about politics or religion in pleasant company. It's like, well, that's a great way for nobody to grow, for us to just stay stagnant and not in any way challenge one another. And so questioning, even though it's going to rock people's boats, is going to make them question almost out of necessity because of the discomfort. So rocking boats is something that's necessary. And unfortunately, the spiritual crowd has decided, to a large degree, not everybody, that we don't rock boats because that's unpleasant and that's not what a unitary consciousness would do. It's like, that is what a unitary consciousness would do. Look at your body whenever it has an infection. Your body goes apeshit trying to get rid of that infection. You know, so there's some disturbance there, right? So that's very much the point, is that when you get past the belief, when you get past the need for stability and security, you come to terms with what is, and what is always changing, right? You can't just abide by the Ten Commandments, because maybe that's not what needs to be done right now. And the only way you'll know is to allow yourself to be here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that just that idea of being here and being now that's knocked me this weekend. My experience has knocked me into that, and it's stuck with me. And one of the biggest things is just my mind settling and quieting. It has been a lot quieter the last few days, and it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And I know a lot of people who have very noisy minds that could derive a lot of benefit from it, because that's all, you know, that's all the fog, that's all the baggage. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to always be thinking and worrying and wondering and preparing. And
so I feel like there's like a balance with that I didn't want to see at that point, because I remember like feeling like that. And this was, again, after first time I took mushrooms. For those who didn't know, this episode is like the first one after I tried mushrooms for the very first time. And so my mind, it's interesting because it was like my mind was quieter in contrast, and like, you know, it's kind of either one or the other, but there's like quieter, it's a spectrum. But I wasn't nearly as relaxed. And so it was almost like that was my sole focus, was like having a quiet mind, and that was it. And like, that was priority. And that was what I would think. Cause like, I remember fucking Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, he was like, someone asked him his strengths and he kind of half laughingly said he can like think no thoughts for 7 minutes or something, or he cannot think for 7 minutes or some whack ass shit like that. It's like, all right, dude, cool. And so in my head at this point, like, not having a noisy mind was like, it was like pinnacle of like, that's the best thing ever. And there's so much more to life, obviously, than that. And so much more to everything than that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because it's funny because we start thinking about, you know, that drive for control, that drive for thinking about yourself is very much like the flashlight in a dark room, right? Like the flashlight is what gives you control. The flashlight is where it shows you where you want to look, right? And then you start to realize, oh, shit, that's like the source of a lot of my conflict and suffering. And so you turn off the flashlight or you stop turning it on. And suddenly you're like, oh, that's nice. But then your eyes start to adjust. And what you recognize is that in not focusing on a single point, in not being so single-minded, you're actually seeing the all of everything that you are. And so it's not necessarily that the thoughts have stopped. It's that you've stopped cherry-picking specific ones. And so suddenly you're like, oh, that feels so much better. And then you become aware of all the other ones that are still in there. All the other ones that were driving the reason you chose those specific ones. Then you start to get a little bit deeper into it. And then it's the same process again. Relax. Right? But it's just picking away at it layer by layer.
Like you don't, and that's not how we were made to be. It's how we've developed and you know, transformed, and we have all of these external factors leading to feelings like that. And it just doesn't have to be, and you don't need that much. Like, it can be cool to, you know, I was sitting and I watched a pond of ducks for like a good 15 minutes and it was amazing yesterday. And like, there's so many things that you just don't need to be doing and wanting more. And I sound like a hippie, but it's like, I feel more like one, yeah. a druggy hippie.
Right. And it's funny.
I'll take that. I'll wear that one.
Let's just put them down so we don't have to pay attention to them. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had a valid point, and it's just that the habit, the habitual thought, the habitual identification is, it's not that it ever goes away. I made the point once that if you use a Windows PC and you hit Control Alt Delete, it shows you all the background processes that are happening on your computer, right? All the time. Even if you're not touching your computer, there's just like 100 things happening in the background. Well, it's kind of like our brain, right? Our brain is always processing context. It's always processing what it knows conceptually and superficially. And so we almost tune into that process and we get so caught up in it that we start thinking that every thought that's being processed is relevant to us individually. And so we pay attention to them, and that's what becomes the noise. It's like the more we commit to them being the truth, the more we hear our thoughts. And so all of a sudden, as you start to go, oh, it's just background stuff, I don't need to watch that, it's still going to do its own thing, all of a sudden it's like they start to fall away, almost like in a bar when you start to tune out the background music. Right? And you're focused on the conversation at hand. So people will say, how do I stop my thoughts? It's like, well, you can't, because your brain is doing its own thing. That's not the problem. The problem is how involved you are with them, how much you're trying to micromanage every one that goes across your consciousness, instead of just letting it go by and continue the process that it was doing without your interference.
Yeah, it's like realizing that that's the case, that is the process, is extremely helpful. And I had, right before I had sort of like the insight that I'm not Andrew back in July, I had a week that I was just like very much caught up in my thoughts. And I was like on YouTube looking up like how to quiet overthinking, quiet the mind, like going back to my old TikToks, like watching my own shit. Like, I gotta remember some of this stuff now. And I got to a point, and I don't think I saw any videos about it, but because there were so many about like how to stop overthinking, how to quiet your mind, whatever. And I realized I didn't want to stop overthinking. I wanted to stop thinking certain thoughts. It wasn't like there's this blanket statement of like, I'm an overthinker. And it's like, no, you think certain thoughts and you identify with those thoughts. Thoughts are always happening. Everyone's thinking a different shit all the time. It's that it gets placed in a negative light when there's certain thoughts we don't want to be thinking. So we try to get rid of them. And through trying to suppress them and get rid of them, we are giving them so much attention. We are resisting them. What you resist persists typically. And so it stays there. And you don't realize that it's a process that's always churning, like clouds passing by or dogs walking through in a park. And those thoughts are just the dogs. Just they're just running by. They're not like coming up and licking you unless you don't want them to. Then they're going to come up and give you a lot of attention. Yeah. But if you realize that they're just running by, you can allow them to keep running. And then all of a sudden other thoughts are popping up.
So it's like, I really appreciate how like matter of fact I am with this, because it's like the words are all there. Like, yeah, you, what you resist persists. Yeah, you know, I've probably said that a bajillion times in season one, especially. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's going to be popped by. So like all the understanding was there. It's just like, and it's funny because I remember like my mind was pretty quiet, but it was, yeah, like to your point before, that was a really great way of putting it, was like the light goes off and then it's just darkness. So you don't see all the other considerations at first. So that's the, that's, and that's like where I'm at right now, is it's like just pitch black. So there's not even anything. It's like, I wasn't aware of enough almost to realize, you know, like realize anything to worry about, because I just wasn't seeing any. And then it's like, you know, since it's been 2 years since then, it's just like, you know, eyes are adjusting in a sense, and so there's more taken in, which comes with more relaxation. Like, again, I all the words are right fucking there. I can tell I'm a bajillion times more relaxed now than I was then. So
simple, not easy, right? Like, that's the thing, is that what we're saying is obvious. You're like, yeah, gotta let that shit go by. You gotta go through it. You gotta face the hardship. You gotta be responsible. You gotta be in the present. This is like all of these things are like, well, yeah, but it's doing it. It's actually doing it in those moments when it seems easier or more expedient to be selfish, to dwell upon the idea of yourself, to try and prop yourself up and escape that feeling of being lower, rather than looking at why you feel lower. Right? Looking at the illusion that drives that. Instead of reacting, just pick it apart. Right? So, you know, this conversation's dope for sure. And as I've said to you, because I know we've talked about this, it's really easy to look back at your previous self and go like, oh, come on. You know, we had a conversation about this earlier on Patreon, where I showed a rare video from my 2005-2006 days. And you look back at that, and I look back at that, and I'm like, well, I know you voiced it. You're like, I don't see anything wrong with it. Whereas I look at it, I'm like, oh, I can see so much difference between that me and this me. And that's the point, I think, is that you're not just looking at what's being said. You're looking at the gap between when you said it and when you're saying it now, right? And so you're like, oh, I didn't get it at all. But you did, to the best of your ability. Right. And it's just about getting more and more penetration.
Yeah. Penetration is key. One last thing before that, like with your video from 2005 and now, like it's funny, 'cause like it's just, to me, is like different people. Basically it's like, it's different, but to you, it's like, that's you. And so for someone watching this, they may see like, yeah, obviously see differences, you know, between you, but there isn't like it's just difference. It's like, yeah, bro, that had to happen for, you know, you to feel how you do now, that may be different. But to me, seeing those videos of you, it's like, it's just difference, and it's not a positive negative thing at all. But then when something's personal, it's a positive negative thing instead of just difference, which is funny.
Well said. Well said.
But those ones that you thought you were overthinking were just the thoughts you didn't want to be having, all of a sudden those keep passing. And since then, those same sorts of thoughts that I was kind of caught up in that week have come up and they pass very quickly. And I don't get like, you know, tensed up like, oh, shit. I don't want to be thinking this. It's like, oh, there it is. And there it goes. And I bring my awareness to, usually for me, bring my awareness to the now, like smelling things, listening has helped a lot. Just like listening to what's around me. It's hard to like be lost in thought when you're super aware of sounds around you. So that's helped too. But yeah, I think with overthinking, it's not that you want to stop overthinking. You just want to stop thinking certain thoughts. And that realization helped a ton.
It's interesting because you mentioned anxiety, and I just wanted to mention that we do have a workshop coming up on social anxiety on October 19th. For anybody who's interested, the link is in my bio, or of course you'll find more information on social media. But anxiety is another one of those things where the harder we try to get away from it, the worse it gets, because we experience anxiety and it sucks, and then we become anxious about experiencing anxiety. So now all of a sudden it's a downward spiral. And I found one of the easiest ways, or one of the most helpful ways that I found of getting out of my old anxiety problem is, and it was bad. I used to get heart pains. I used to, like, I would throw up, I would pass out. It was really, really bad. And it was just remembering, right, I've done this before. It's gonna pass. I'm gonna get through. I'm stronger than this. And as soon as I could stop being afraid of my anxiety, then it became easier to get through my anxiety. So then it became, right, these are just thoughts. So it was the same process, but now it was a layer deeper of what was causing the anxiety. And so it's always about almost doing the counterintuitive thing, right? Like, it's like, oh, I'm anxious, I got to run away from it. It's like, no, you got to face it. You know, it's like, oh, I'm depressed, I need to escape this feeling. It's like, actually, you need to sit in it and decide that you're going to do what you can with it. And that's when it changes. Right? You can't escape depression to find happiness and then depression goes away, because that just makes depression deeper.
Yeah. And I think with all of those things you just mentioned, anxiety, depression, nerves, there's been this negative stigma placed on them. So now everyone has in their default that it's bad to feel them. And so when we feel them, we try to get rid of them. And I posted a video a few days ago about, you know, if you start feeling nervous, you have a presentation coming up, you're about to read in class, and you get like, you know, that lump in your throat where you're like, oh shit, is my voice going to sound weird? Or like your heart starts racing. And I used to get that all the time. And like, I still do sometimes. And it's like, instead of trying to get rid of that feeling and hating that feeling and thinking I shouldn't be feeling this way, like, you know, this isn't a big deal, I shouldn't be nervous, it's like, I'm nervous. That's okay. It's normal. I'm going to do this anyway, and I'm going to be fine. And it's not that the nerves or the anxiety or whatever is bad, but we think it's bad. And I posted a video a while ago, like 7 or 8 months ago. And I started it with, like, that was when I used to start every video with, what have I told you? And it was, what if I told you that anxiety isn't bad? And a lot of people took that the wrong way. And it got stitched maybe like, I don't know, thousands of times, like, oh, you think anxiety is not bad? Like, I'll tell that to my Zoloft over there or something. Right. And I was like, I didn't mean it like that. I meant like, you don't have to think of it as bad. It's okay to feel it once you realize that it's not an objectively bad thing. Like you said, you can allow it to be there, realize that you'll be okay. It's just a feeling. And usually the only reason we think of it as negative is because we have these thoughts attached to it. It's just a feeling. Everyone says, you know, it's similar to excitement, but it's just the thoughts that you have about it makes you think that it's anxiety or nerves, when really it's the same. If you were, you know, about to get on a roller coaster you were super excited for, that's the same thing. You're just excited. You're just happy about it and looking forward to it, as opposed to afraid of it.
That's so interesting.
Just like, because sometimes now I'll feel like, oh, I'm more uncertain about stuff, like more uncertain, not as like, I don't feel like I'm as maybe confident as I was at one point. Because like, all the shit I was saying was rehearsed like a bajillion times, and like I read it in a book and it was like very much repeated. And it's not to say that I don't do that now, but there's a lot more willingness to not pull, like actually be in the moment, like be, find out right now what's there or what to talk about or what to discuss, as opposed to continuing. Cause like, I think everything that I just said right there, I probably made at that point 5 videos about like each statement. And it's just like, you know, had read it somewhere. And it's not to say that it's not there. Like, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm actually enjoying rewatching this. I'm like, I could take that some of that shit in from back then, but it is funny just knowing how, like, how many times I said all of those things, basically. And it's like, you know, who am I doing it for? I'm trying to convince that I'm almost like there a little bit, a little bit hesitant to be like, I still feel that stuff sometimes. Whereas now I'm like, I feel that shit every fucking day, like multiple times a day. Like that shit is all over the place all the time. It's like, yeah, I you know, every couple months it'll, that anxiety will trickle in, you know, to my protected mind of quietness at all times. And I meditate for 7 hours a day, and it's like, oh Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Well, and I love the fact that I know from our conversations, you know, in the background on Patreon after this, that we were leading up to this social anxiety workshop and you were feeling a bit of anxiety about that. And so there was a whole portion of you here that was like, yeah, I got this. And then what I love about, I'm pretty sure it was that workshop where you ended up being late to the workshop. We started the workshop with you being in the back of a cab, live streaming the beginning of the social anxiety workshop, demonstrating, in fact, in real time, how you have to learn these lessons under the gun, under the pressure, in the situation where you're like, I could panic about this, or I could just fucking roll with it. And you did. So I thought that was great, because it was very much like leading up to the lesson and then boom, application right at the point where you had to do a presentation on it. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, and the last part with the anxiety thing, like it almost hit me going through that like if there was too much going on there, like for me to be worried or nervous about. So I was just like, yeah, I got to do what I can do here. And I'm already feeling shitty about this and I'm not going to add. And it kind of like hit me in a different way that, oh, I'm adding the weight, cause it's like soul focus only thing. So it hit me in a different way. And it's funny how we can stumble into shit like that.
Interesting. And I'm just going to try and get this out because it's kind of been going through my awareness for the last couple of days, and it's one of those thoughts where it's like, this might end up on TikTok, but I'm not entirely sure. But anxiety is so interesting because anxiety gets out of hand the more we try to avoid it. But where does the anxiety come from? And I was thinking about, because I have some smaller kids who live on the street that I live on. When we're young, when we're very young and we first start learning to run, do you remember that feeling when you're getting so much speed running, you're so focused on where you're running to that you fall and you trip and you scrape your knee? It's the scraped knee lesson, right? Well, all of a sudden, next time we're running and we can feel ourselves getting out of control, we're going too fast or we're too focused down the road, we start to feel some apprehension shortly after that because we scraped our knee. We remember doing that. And so we slow down and we try and focus on the step that we're on. So physically, that makes sense. But psychologically, we don't do the same thing. We focus on the end results. We focus on how fast we can get there. And then we start to feel anxiety and we don't realize it's the same damn lesson as the scraped knee. It's because we're too focused on the end result. We're not focused on the step we're on. We have a feeling like we're going to stumble and trip. And so instead of just slowing down and breathing, taking the cue that anxiety is giving us to come closer to the present, we just push right past it and we're like, no, I just need more control. No, I need to focus on the end result more. And so we ignore the scraped knee lesson. That was one of our first ones.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I can think of times in my life where like,
all right, I don't know what I'm about to say right here, but I can remember not really getting what you meant by that. And like because I don't know if I got it until right now, in the sense of like that feeling when, you know, you're running fast, no contacts, no considerations, whatever, fall, scrape your knee. And so next time around, it's the memory of that and like the subtle avoidance of that. It's like, you know, we were talking about the other day with limping or like any sort of bodily thing. It's like you feel a pain. I don't want to feel that anymore, but I also don't want to do anything about it. So I'm just going to limp, you know, the pain in your leg. So I'm just going to limp. And it's like able to contort things. And so if you go through an experience and you're like, oh, well, that happened then, and it was from this sort of thing, so now the anxiety is about that thing, but the thing only happened from a perspective of like taking yourself seriously. So there isn't so much to fear this time around, but like we forget that it's the context is so important, and like how we perceive ourselves is important in a sense of like things mattering. Cause even, you know, more recently, there hasn't been like as many buildups of things that I've, you know, and we're talking a lot, but like, I don't remember how days go even. And like, I'll remember feeling a certain way or uncomfortable or anxious or whatever, an experience where historically it would have stayed with me for a while, that it doesn't. I hardly even remember like what I did a couple hours ago. And yet there's still those, you know, those deeper cuts. And who's to say that like that shit happens again? And I've already seen it. Things like that happen again, and they don't stick in the same way more recently. But like the further you go back, the more it's like there's the tying of it without the context. So anyway, that was really well said there.
I have no doubt that I'm going to have exactly this reaction numerous times through this commentary series. I have no memory of saying any of that. I don't recall ever, in fact, making that point. And it was a pretty decent point. So I'm going to shut up and continue on.
I would have a presentation or something, and it's like way down the road. I haven't even, you know, picked a topic for it or started preparing for it. And I'm already nervous. And it's like, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. And I'm nervous of the idea of it focused on that end result, focused on the outcome. And the idea of, I like that a lot, because it's the idea that you're not actually nervous about the event, you're nervous about the outcome. And you're nervous about you're not nervous about the speech. You can give a speech in your mirror right now and you'd be chilling. You might not do amazing or like amazing, whatever that even means, but you can do it and you wouldn't feel any nervousness. You're focused on the outcome. You're focused on, what if I give a speech and people don't like it? Or what if I give a speech and people judge me? You're not even focused on the speech. You're focused on the reaction, the outcome, everything happening after. So you're not even nervous about the event, and you don't even know, you know, you don't know what's best either. So you don't even know what a good outcome is. Messing up could be lead to a really good outcome. So that kind of puts that worry in a little bit of a pickle, I would say. But
school really drills that one into us, though, because in school, as we go through the system, it's not just, you know, don't fail your test. It's don't fail your test, because then you'll fail your class, which may make you fail your year, which means you'll never get a job and nobody's going to love you because you won't be a success. And it just tails off from there. So at 16 years old, even just a multiple choice A, B, or C is causing us no end of stress, because our entire life is on the line on whether or not we remember Pythagorean's theorem. Mm-hmm. so we get into that habit of assuming everything we do, the end result is dependent on it. And the older I get, the more I realize that the mistakes I made in my past really didn't have the impact I thought they were going to. Like all of that stress that I was going through over, this is going to ruin my life, never really happened. I mean, here I am, I'm in my 40s, I'm in a job I never thought I'd have, I'm in a city I never thought I'd live in, I'm with a family I never thought would be there, none of which I saw coming. And so all of my anxiety and my worry about the future was for nothing, because nothing I ever imagined happening is what actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that that point is simply that all of that anxiety was based on the fiction in my head. It was all based on the rush. I was trying to get somewhere. And with that goes that, oh, I'm going to fucking fall. Oh, I'm going to fall, because it's the trying to get somewhere that is the falling, right? Like, they're synonymous. Like, you're immediately losing your sense of balance and grace because you get caught up in this illusion. And so that was really it. It's like, I was still doing what I was doing. I was still living. It's just that I was adding a layer of strife and hardship on top of it, simply because I wasn't satisfied with the pace. I wasn't satisfied with how it was going, rather than just making the most out of how it was going.
It's like the more you're looking around, like, the less balance you're going to be. And there's this incentive to thinking, well, like, no, if I look around, then I'll know what's coming. And it's kind of just like, yeah, it's just fucking wobbling around, and getting that balance is, because, like, when you are where you're at and, like, actually attentive to what's going on, and that's it, it's harder. It just makes it, it's not to say that shit's not going to come up, but, like, makes it a little tougher to do that. It's like everything kind of gets infiltrated there. And it's funny, like, listening to myself, like, part of me fucking, like, it's tough to watch sometimes with shit. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, God damn, I don't know if I like this guy very much. But then that's just, like, you know, the judgment that'll probably be me talking right now at some point, having the same sort of thoughts. But it is, because, like, I notice more of a, and again, it's like, got to go through stuff to go through stuff. And, but, like, I can feel, even, which is kind of cool to notice, that, like, this episode versus the last episode, I'm a little more, like, gung-ho about stuff. And granted, it's like things that I've said words about a lot. And so it's like, oh, here's some things that I can say. And I have a good 3-minute spiel on this that I've gone over a number of times, versus just, like, being there hanging, chatting.
I think it's really important to recognize that at this point, you were relatively more free in yourself than most people actually feel. I mean, that's a large portion of why you had such a following on Instagram and TikTok, is because you were embodying and reflecting things that people were like, what? Yeah, I can take myself a little less seriously. But you were doing so from a place where you were still taking yourself fairly seriously. So you weren't too far outside their sphere, is what I was saying. It's kind of like the video I was saying about, you know, the duality in the tennis ball. Like, you were on the outside of the ball, of all the duality. And so everything you did had an impact at that level, right? And so it was like a larger splash, because you were, you know, on a surface that was larger. And then the deeper into yourself you go, the splash changes. And it's not that it's less of a splash, it's just that it penetrates deeper. Right. So it doesn't have the same surface impact, but it does, in fact, impact more. And so it's really interesting to watch this, because that's what you've been doing this whole time. And that's why a lot of your newer videos, you'll notice that some people are just kind of like, eh. And then, like, I don't know if I get that. Right. And you're like, yeah, but I didn't really make it for you. And that's a part of your change as well.
And last thing, because it's almost like, if someone's telling you, if you take yourself seriously and someone's telling you you don't have to take yourself that seriously, while they're taking themselves seriously, there's going to be almost more resonance than if someone's telling you you don't have to take yourself seriously and they're not taking themselves seriously. There's almost going to be like a resistance. And I'm only speaking from my own experience that, like, that can be the case sometimes, because it's like there's this assumption, like, oh, yeah, easy for you to say, versus someone who's a little more tense and rigid. You're like, yeah, they got a decent point there. And there isn't, like, that strange underlying aversion to, like, which really is just, you know, me not wanting to be myself, or, like, actually just, you know, stop looking around and just have faith in myself. So anyway.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with that more. I mean, where I'm at now, like, maybe being close to quitting my job soon because I'm posting videos publicly on social media and have people that actually follow me and like notice me in the street is like, if you told me that when I was in college or graduating college or a year into my job, like I would have called you an absolute lunatic. Like the idea, because it's crazy. Yeah. Like that we think we know what's going to happen. And especially now with the idea of, you know, college and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll have, because like a decent amount of my followers are younger kids in college, you know, who are stressed and anxious and everything. And a lot of times my advice is like, it's probably like whatever test you're on or like studying for is not going to have a big impact on your life whatsoever. Like, I don't mean just like, you know, stop studying and go out and party and like show up to your test drunk or something, but like do your best and see what happens. But like, you don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. And you're like thinking that you do. And you're thinking that if you fail this test, like you said, fail the class, don't get a good job, good job. It's like, it's wild. And it's like, I don't even use, even in my, I mean, certainly not in social media do I use any school related learnings, but even in my job in digital advertising, that's fairly common to get for a lot of kids after school, marketing or advertising or something. I don't use anything from my college classes in that either. I learned all that in a six-week training when I started. And then since the job, just like basically learn on the fly. Yeah. Like it's just wild.
Absolutely. I've learned more since I left school.
Oh, without a doubt. I've learned more in the last 2 months than I have in the last,
and
even in college at all.
Well, what's funny is the thing that I really learned or the thing that I learned that changed everything for me was why I was having so much problems learning, right? It's because I wasn't, it was the archer that we described in the last episode, right? I was focused on the grade and the test. I was focused on the work in front of me and where it would take me. And so that reflected on me and my value, and that brought up all kinds of comparison to everybody else and how I assumed they would be doing. And so the whole time, 95% of my attention is somewhere else while I'm trying to study. Yes, I did cut out because I accidentally hit the space bar and it muted me. The point being is that school teaches us to think in a certain way, and it's counterintuitive in the extreme because my daughter is homeschooled, perfect example. She learns things as they become relevant to her. Because when they're not relevant, you're just drilling them with information they're going to forget. I mean, how much did you learn in grade school that you don't remember even learning? Right, but it filled you 8 hours a day, kept you off the streets, and God knows we don't want children just running around in the streets reminding adults what life is all about. So, right, so we want to keep them out of sight so parents can continue to go to school and drive the system that continues to make them put their kids in school. And it's just craziness. Like, we have gotten so out of hand with the idea of production and progress and advancement that we've forgotten when enough is enough. When am I fulfilled? When am I happy? Mm-hmm. Right. And then what can I do with that? We don't focus on that at all. It's, you'll be happy when you do enough. You'll be happy when you have enough. You'll be happy when people approve of you enough. And that never works.
Never happens. Never comes.
Nope. It's like my grandfather used to say, you know, you can make some people happy, you can't make everybody happy ever. And it's like, right, so why bother? What, like, just be yourself, and the people who are going to resonate with it will resonate with it, and the people who aren't won't, and that's on them.
Yeah, no matter what you do, people are going to love you and hate you for the same exact thing.
Yeah. So at least they're thinking about me.
Exactly. Yeah, taking time out of their day to write a negative comment, you know.
Oh, I love it. I'm just like, let's keep that happening. You know, just keep talking, because at some point it's going to get to a point where you're going to either have an insight, or you're going to get so pissed off that you stop talking to me entirely, and it's going to rattle you for the rest of the day, which may lead to another insight. Right? We don't know how that works out, but I do know that by allowing people to stay in their comfort zone simply so they'll like me more, I'm not doing anybody any good. Mm-hmm. right? And that's a big part of this, is being willing to not be liked. Sometimes you have to be willing to be perceived as the bad guy in order to do any good.
Yeah. And it's so, I've gotten so used.
And it's interesting how, like, you've said a number of things in this episode that we've had, like, full fleshed out discussions. And, like, a lot of them are on Raws also for specific things. And I'm forgetting what you just said, but, like, something you said before that too. It's like, those were things we have kind of delved into, and we'll probably just keep sort of circling around, because there's things like, you can, even for any topic, it's like, you can recognize something about it, but there's always more. There's always more to dig into. There's more depth to the, you know, whatever it's stemming from, basically. And I think that's like a lot of this episode and episode one are like pointing out the leaves on the tree, and we're like slowly digging in, and it's like talking about the root at the same time, and like almost maybe it's like bringing them closer together as it's like coming down more and more to the application. Like, the conversation is talking about all the leaves, then it's like application is actually delving through the branches, through the trunk, into that. Because, yeah, like I've said a number of times recently, it's not about the conversation almost at all.
Man, was that ever fucking well said, because that's exactly what the conversation's been. And it's often like that with everybody, or at least for me, right? It's like, hey, look at the leaf. Look at that leaf. Look at that leaf. Did you notice the branch that they're all kind of connected to? And did you notice that that branch keeps going? That there's more, in fact, and possibly a root underneath all those branches, right? And that's all you're ever doing. But you can't just go, there's a giant fucking tree, why aren't you seeing the tree? Because it's, you're just like, who the fuck are you, and why are you telling me I gotta look at this goddamn tree? Like, I've got enough to worry about. You're like, right, okay, so let's start with a leaf, right? Let's start at the with the leaves that you're already looking at, in fact, right? And where you don't see a connection, let's talk about that. And that's really what we're doing. And it's just interesting, because that's how a conversation grows. That's how we grow in anything, right? We start something new. We start looking at the leaves. Then we see how the leaves form branches, and we see how the branches form a root. And that's when you start to master something, is when you can recognize both the parts and the root at the same time and see how they start working together. But it's like that for everything. So yeah, I love how this conversation goes, because right now, and I know in season one, I'm like, you know, how do I introduce certain things but not dwell on them, right? Because if we dwell on them, they become overwhelming, right? So it's important to go, yeah, okay, cool. Let's move on to something else. Always keeping it light, because you don't want to make it super, like, you know, grave by any means, except for the schooling system. School and religion, the two things that are serious, serious fuck-ups.
Used to like questioning everything, and not, you know, to put myself on a pedestal or anything, but it's like, so I find it so interesting when people are so sure of themselves, or they don't want to question. It also, I mean, it makes sense why you wouldn't want to question, because then it's like, you may have to admit that you're wrong, or you might have to face the fact that everything is uncertain, and you might have to face this idea of being uncomfortable and uncomfortability. And I just think that if you can find the comfort in discomfort, there's actually, I think I wrote it down in my phone.
I just want to say, we're really glazing here. We're glazing right over. It's like, oh yeah. Discomfort, comfort, certainty. Yeah, why don't people like questioning their certainty? It's like, it's kind of like, I get it, but it's like, I get it.
Oh, man, that's great. But this is it. This is how we learn, right? As we start, we get a surface understanding, and then we deepen it over time. And I think that's what's really telling about you as a person. And it's what surprised me so much as we continue to go through not just this episode, but the episodes that follow, was your willingness to continue on. It's like, yeah, this is making me more uncomfortable, but you know, what's the alternative? Going back to what I know is clearly false certainty. You know, and a lot of people would be like, yeah, pass the beer. And so I've always been very impressed with season one, Andrew.
Phone probably, but when I was on the mushrooms this weekend, I was thinking about discomfort and the idea of discomfort and how, like, anytime I've had discomfort and it's been like calmed or like I've gotten comfortable again, discomfort comes up again. Like, it's a never ending cycle. So the only thing you can ever do is work on being comfortable in discomfort, and then you'll never be uncomfortable.
Sure.
And realizing, like, and accepting when you're uncomfortable, or accepting when you're anxious, or accepting when you're not feeling great, and you'll never not feel great almost. It's like, you will, but you won't have so much attached to it. Yeah. And you'll know that it's okay, and it's not gonna last. And it's when there's this uncertainty, or like the idea when Alan Watts talks about, like, you know, it's the fear that, you know, if everything is black and white, it's the fear that, you know, black will win. Yeah. And that's all that it ever is. And it's like, it's never how it goes. It's part, both are part of each other, and they're always happening. And if you can become comfortable, whether it's black or white or anything, you'll never have to fear.
Life is just what it is. Yeah.
And so, and I'm laughing at all of this, but I forget that, like, being on a podcast to me at that point, like, as much as now I'm like, motherfucker, you're not like getting into that many things, but like, but I was relatively, like, and you know, even getting into doing the retreats, like, that was another thing that I did not see myself necessarily doing. Like, that was another uncomfortable thing that I've gone through a number of times and, like, you know, really, really enjoy and appreciate them. But admittedly, those are, can tend to be fairly uncomfortable for me. And so at this point, though, there is, it's like being on a pot, like, there were so many things that I don't even question. Like, there was a point where going on a live on social media, that was petrifying. And like, a lot of people I knew, I remember I was like with a group of friends, we were playing some sort of game. I don't know if it was like a drinking game or just something. And like, loser had to go live on Instagram for like, you know, 10 minutes or something. And I was like, oh fuck, I really hope I don't lose. This is, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember feeling that about that sort of thing though. And so it's all relative, right? Like, there's been a number of things. The thought of doing anything high was petrifying to me at a point, like absolutely petrifying. Whereas I do things high now, and like, I'm high in a lot of our calls and episodes, group chats, all that stuff. And there was a point where I wouldn't have even interacted on a call with anyone if I was high. And that was like a lot of people I knew, and we would smoke together. Like, no one really jumped into too many things a lot of times. So it wasn't even that, like, it was that ridiculous. And I know a ton of people who just stay away from cannabis because they're too uncomfortable just with this. So like, fuck, dude, even fucking smoking weed or taking a gummy, like, that's at one point was like, nope, not going to do that. And also not look at why I don't want to, just not do it because there's this social societal sort of stigma. It's like, no, it's actually, you're doing a good job if you're avoiding weed. You know, so it was easy to just circumnavigate any degree of responsibility for like why I'm staying away from weed or cannabis or edibles or anything like that. So yeah, it's just hitting me like, fuck yeah, man. Like, discomfort, it just continues to expand. And kind of like I just said, like, the discomforts keep popping up, but we don't realize like there's almost layers to it. And like, what at one point, what now I don't even question or like to have two thoughts about, was at one point so uncomfortable that I would avoid it for a really long time. And you know, how many things are, I'm in that position right now, and in another year or two, I'll be like talking about the same shit and with different stuff. We'll see.
Yeah, but and that's where religion, or at least I know Christianity, tends to lose the point, in that they try to have faith in something in order to deal with the uncertainty of life. And them, if for them, it's having faith in God or in Jesus or in the rules or judgment day or whatever it might be. So they're having faith in another mechanism for control, right? So in another concept that gives them the idea that a certain end result is going to happen and that it's within their control. And so that type of faith isn't faith, right? It's just another illusion of control. Faith, true faith, is faith in nothing. It's just faith in yourself. It's just moving forward, right? And that's the only way we can balance the reality of uncertainty, is to remember, right, whatever the unknown is, it's me facing it. That's all I need to know, is me.
Yeah. And having that faith in yourself, and even with confidence too, like, I think of confidence as less so a feeling and more so just an action. No matter how you feel, it's not about feeling confident. It's about.
Yeah, I made that video like 4 times also. We're just going through. I'm just like, fucking, oh yeah. Well, what do we got? We got that in the trunk. We got that in the trunk. Yeah. We got it. All right. Throw it ahead. And it's funny just to see like each section, but you know, that's where I was at. So.
Well, this is it though. I mean, I think it's important to remember that I had gone through a period in my life, probably 5 or 8 years before this, where I started to recognize that I was in fact just repeating insights that I thought were really good. And I started to go, that's not quite, you know, that's not the same as a living expression. That's just, you know, falling back onto what's comfortable. And so we all go through that period where that's what we're doing, but it's not a bad thing necessarily, because what we're doing is learning how to refine an insight. It's just that then we become attached to the insight rather than just refining it, letting it go, letting it become something else later on, which is something that, again, I went through. I'm still doing here in this episode to some degree, I'm sure.
About no matter how you're feeling or how you think you might feel, it's about doing whatever it is anyway, and realizing that you'll be okay. And it's all about those actions despite that discomfort or uncomfortability. And once you take enough of those, then you'll have so much, you'll have built, it's almost like building trust in yourself and doing what you say you will and you know you should be doing. Like if there's, you know, something you're really nervous about, like, you know, given a presentation or a speech, and you do it anyway, you're building trust in yourself. And that sort of actions, I like to think of it like the actions despite how you feel are like bricks if confidence were the building. Nice. And every action you take despite how you feel, no matter how you feel, if you do it anyway, just one more brick on the building. And eventually that building gets a lot taller. It's never, there's no end to that, but it's always a process. And there is a point, I think, that you get to that you're just like, I may not feel great. I may feel super confident all the time now. You know, I've built so many freaking bricks that my building is massive. And, you know, there's nothing really stopping me ever, or even hesitations. And that feeling, the initial feeling, all of a sudden becomes a sort of confidence. But until then, it's just actions despite how you feel.
Yep, absolutely. And that oddly enough, that habit of breaking the habit of doubting yourself, or the habit of breaking a habit, is what brings you back to that state constantly, right? It's like, I'm just going to decide how I'm going to interpret this. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do here, rather than resort to my previous actions, regardless of how similar this experience might be. I'm not going to have a reaction, as it were. I'm going to act here in the moment on my own will, not based on any structure, not based on any crutch. And so that's really the next, that's the next big step beyond being willing to question things. It's being willing to move forward without a sense of certainty, right? Without having that sense of control. And that's only something you can do through practice. It's like Buddha said, you know, we're tested like steel through fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, like, it just reminds me of, you know,
and I know I've said that line like dozens of times because it's good.
Yeah. And that's, it's like, there's always semblances of it that'll continue. It's like, why not? That's like, that's a really solid saying or phrase. It's, yeah. And so it's like also not having an aversion, because if you have an aversion to like repeating something, you're just going to be fucking thinking about yourself and shit all the time. And then it's like, you're going to be like, ah, I'm not even going to bother.
Your takes on manifesting. And I think that is a sort of sense of feel like I was doing it pretty regularly up until 2 weeks ago. And then I stopped, because I think what you said just made sense. And I was like, started to wonder like, oh shit, like I literally just posted a video about how I manifest every morning yesterday on YouTube. And I don't think it makes any sense anymore. And so I'm going to stop. And since then, I've realized just how much it's still clinging on to a belief and needing a crutch.
I just want to say I really appreciate that process right there. Like, oh man, I was just talking about that, and that no longer makes any sense. So I'm going to stop. And that's all it's got to be. Doesn't have to be even a explanation. If someone wants to ask you about something, you were just saying that's like, yeah, I actually don't think that anymore. And you want to chat about it? Like, no, I just want to point out how you contradicted yourself. You contradictory motherfucker. It's like, yeah, I'm here to chat though. That's kind of the point. That's why we're talking right now.
I love the fact that even later on, we even doubled down and do a manifestation workshop. We're like, yeah, it's total fucking bunk. But we did a workshop on it, and the workshop is actually on the reality behind the gimmick, right? The ounce of truth, despite the gallon of snake oil. I was really happy with that workshop actually, but it couldn't have happened. We couldn't have had that conversation had it not been for your willingness right here to go, yeah, you know, I don't like that. You're right. That doesn't make sense the way that I bought into it. That doesn't make sense the way I've been looking at it. So I'm just going to question it, and I'm going to stop until I've had a chance to look at it deeper. And that's what the opportunity was. But you can't have that opportunity until you let go.
It's like, you can't, like you said, you can't, if you're manifesting and saying like, I'm so grateful that I have $10 million, it's like, you don't have $10 million. And no matter, you're using it as a crutch to feel good. Why can't you feel good right now? And so I've been a lot more present, and not because it's not really being present. As much as you can tell yourself you're grateful that you have something that you don't. That's it. And like, it can help you feel good, but it's not, yeah,
right? There's a consequence, as always, right? And that's the whole thing, is because the brain is a comparison engine. It's like, you know, I'm grateful for $10 million, which I don't have yet, but I'm going to feel the gratitude I would have if I had $10 million. And it's like, that's a lovely thought if you could lie to yourself convincingly, but you can't. So what you're doing is you're saying, I'll be grateful for the $10 million. I'm feeling that now, but your brain's also going, but we don't have $10 million. So I'm not as grateful for what I have now. Hmm. Right? Immediately the brain plays that game. Perception's just a pain in the ass that way. And you can use that to your advantage. If you're doing a hard work or a hard job, you can actually say, I've done harder. And the perception changes, all of a sudden the job becomes a little bit easier as a result. So you can use that to some degree, but to forget that it's always happening, to forget that as soon as we look to the future as a source of happiness, the present becomes less a source of happiness. As soon as we forget that, we end up in a fog again.
Mm-hmm. So with that though, what about like, because sometimes when I start feeling a little bit sick, like I'll have a sore throat, I'll go through and tell myself like how grateful I am that I'm so healthy and every cell in my body is super healthy. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on that? Is, do you think that's different or like the same exact thing as a $10 million thing? And where does it different. Fall? Okay.
I think it's different in that, well, you're talking to your body, which you have. Your body is there. right? And the thing is what you're really doing is you're changing, you're raising your own level of consciousness. You're raising your own level of awareness in doing that. You're letting go of the narrative, right? You're letting go of the narrative, oh, I'm going to keep getting sicker. You're letting go of the narrative, oh, it's because of this, this, and this, and this. And so you're allowing yourself to come back to the present. You're allowing yourself to be less stressed out by all of those thoughts, which oddly enough improves your immune response, right? Because stress hurts your immune response. Stress hurts your body in general. So whatever you can do to alleviate that stress, which is always coming back to the present, is going to help you get healthier. It's also going to help you manifest, because in the present is where you actually have sway over what's happening.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because it's, so it's like, it's more so the idea of not allowing yourself to identify as a sick person.
Yeah.
Kind of like, because you're not even, I mean, you're not even the person. So it would be silly to identify as a sick person to begin with, but okay,
this is just what I'm going through.
Yeah. Cause I've had that sort of like back and forth between like.
And it's interesting too. Cause now like, it's in that, at that point, I was still very much like like using thoughts to control the sickness away. You know, it's like, I am so grateful that everything's healthy right now. And, you know, I would sit there and do that for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. And it was like force. And that's not relaxation either. Like affirmations like that, like, oh, I'm so, or gratitude or whatever. It's like, it's relaxing in the sense that there isn't that point of like, oh, I wish I wasn't sick right now, sort of, but you're kind of still saying that by like trying to convince yourself that you're healthy. But it really is, as you said, just like letting go of that. And kind of, as I said, like letting go of that idea of being a sick person that cuts it and then allows you to relax a little bit more. But there's, yeah, it's still like, you know, I can, it's like, I wanted to decrease the time of sickness almost by controlling it away, sort of by doing an affirmation of some sort, as opposed to just relaxing. And so how much was I still, not to say that like, oh, you're getting in your way from like healing up, but there's, yeah, it's still me trying to control it out of there.
Which is the thing that I'm sure I didn't want to say here, because I'm giving you an answer that was kind of a half answer. I'm like, yeah, I think it's different. On the other hand, totally the same, because if you're like, I'm getting healthier, I'm getting healthier, I'm getting healthier, you're also afraid of getting sicker, which is causing stress. But I didn't want to bring that up, because then you're going to stress out about doing that, which is going to cause even more stress. Right. And so it's just like, no, it's working. You know, there's a positive, just go with it.
Yeah. It's like half truth, but enough that's not going to, knowing where I'm at, like, I'm not at least going to like double stumble. It's like, just keep stumbling. Don't stumble anymore. Yeah. It's kind of there. You'll get there sort of thing.
It's funny. It's like, I'm going to explain this to the best of my ability right now. And then later when it comes up again, we'll explore it from another facet, because that's really it. It's like, we can't cover every aspect of every conversation all the time, but we can gloss over a big picture. And then sometimes we can deep dive on a detail, right? Which is why, again, I appreciate the fact that the podcast has gone on for so long, because man, have we covered a lot of facets and not even a fucking fraction of what's possible. So that's very exciting.
The manifesting idea of like that. And I always thought there was a difference. And I think there was a podcast I was a guest on that I kind of talked about that idea of like, it's not so much a belief in it, or like the acceptance aspect. Like, I think acceptance is hugely beneficial, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through. But when it comes to being sick, I don't like, or feeling a little bit sick, like, is it good to accept it and be like, I feel sick right now? Or I thought I accept that I'm not feeling amazing right now, but I'm grateful for how healthy I am, that sort of thing. Like, I accept that I'm feeling this, but it's almost like saying that you're sick, or like, I accept that I'm a sick person right now is like.
It's like, Ray, what is the best thought to think right now? Tell me the right thought. God damn, it's this one. I've been tweaking this thought a little bit. I've been tweaking this thing I've been talking to myself about. But what do you think of this? This is my 17th draft here.
Funny. That's not it. That's an identification with an idea, the idea of being a sick person that in our heads, you know, we can picture, you know, someone with tubes up their nose being in a hospital bed. It's like, no, you just feel this thing in your throat. You don't even have to think of it as sickness. You can accept that and be grateful for how amazing you feel everywhere else, something like that.
Absolutely. Well, and it's important to remember that our interpretation of the experience is not the experience itself, right? Like, yeah. How many times have you had a sore throat and went, oh God, it could be cancer or anything. And it's just, it's because of your mentality at the time. It's not like you know any, it's not like you're actually doing any tests or anything whatsoever. You're just assuming based on the narrative that for some reason you feel is going to pay off egotistically, pay off in a sense of control, or pay off in some sense of certainty. And that's really the pain in the ass about concepts, is that we will settle on a concept that is unpleasant instead of just being uncertain. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, I would rather know and suffer than not know. It's like, see, over time, I'd rather just not know. Like, so I was diagnosed with a condition called pigment dispersion glaucoma. So I've a good portion of my eyesight is gone as a result of that. And for years, I felt really bad for myself. You know, oh my God, I'm going to go blind, blah, blah, blah. And all my specialists are like, oh, you're going to go blind, like really young. And that tore me up for a while. And then I realized, I don't know that. And neither do they. Like, they're just saying what they know based on previous studies, based on previous people, based on their own experience. They don't know, and they don't know what's going to develop over time. Like, they've discovered that there are different natural things that help with this particular condition, and so I just went, well, I don't know. So all I'm going to do is, instead of telling myself a story, is I'm going to deal with it as it happens and then move on with my life in the best and happiest way that I can. And as a result, my condition has stabilized. I'm like 17 years into it, pardon the phone. And it continues to improve, even though they said it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just a quick status update, that remains true, by the way, everyone. My condition has continued to be stable. The deterioration has slowed to an incredibly slow rate. I'm doing just fine, The pain that I was going through for years on end in terms of this, and again, it's very much stress induced, or at least it's perpetuated and inflamed by stress. And so as stress has decreased in my life, I have absolutely noticed, more blood flow, greater, I guess, moments of better vision, things like that. Certainly less moments where I'm seeing the lights go darker. It's been good. Things continue to be good. And my doctor continues to be impressed.
That is fucking awesome. And I'm curious, like, do people, like, is this something that's usually even slowed at all? Or does it usually play out? Like, is it something that plays out kind of?
It's not something that they can operate on. So there's no way for them to fix it surgically. They could fix it surgically, but then the problem would come back immediately after. And so you'd have to do surgery after surgery after surgery. And so there's really nothing they can do except hope that it doesn't get worse. And even the medication that they give you, the eye drops that they give you, while it does have an effect on your intraocular pressure, it has nothing to do with the pigment dispersion. Right. And so there's really no control. It comes down to the person. And most people who end up with this condition end up, seeing deterioration rather quickly because it's so hard to control the level of dispersion that's happening at any given point.
Yeah. And it's like when you're talking to doctors, you can just be like, well, I'm not blind now.
That's
right.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know. You can't tell the future just as much as I can't, just as much as anyone.
But we get caught up in that, and the medical profession is not excluded from egotism, right? It's there are doctors who very much believe the same thing as most people who believe, who go to school and get educated, that I now know everything there is to know about this. by virtue of my schooling. It's like, because you've learned a particular perspective doesn't make it the truth. It just makes it the perspective that you've learned to operate within. You know, it's like there used to be doctors, quote unquote doctors, who would swear by leeches. You know, and they're like, oh, this has worked. We've seen anecdotal evidence that this has worked sometimes, occasionally, right? And it's like, okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean you see the whole picture of why it did work or why it didn't work, right? Because we don't know everything. And then that's a danger that we tend to fall into when we believe in education. You know, like concepts are somehow the thing that they're trying to describe.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, so much.
Yeah, funny too, because we were actually talking about that recently, like the point, you know, jumping from a child to adult is oftentimes just the point you stop learning, or you get very, very specific in it. And you don't really learn many new things as an adult. And it's the same thing for just like picking a vocation, like a doctor or something. And you become, say, an expert by the time you're, say, 40 or 50. And then it's like, it's just stagnation as soon as that term expert comes in. So yeah, we were just talking about that like 2 or 3 days ago, I think, or maybe yesterday. I don't know.
It's like with education, it's also like you're learning it through a teacher who has their own perception of reality and their own perspective, one individual perception and perspective, and who's teaching it through people who distilled it in their own individual perspective. And now you're learning it through your own individual perspective. And yet we take it as truth. And sure, there's certain things like certain mathematical related things that, you know, you could say are more less subjective, but mm-hmm. most stuff in school is extremely subjective, and how things were perceived, even like, you know, a history class where a war happened. It's like, you know, if you're learning about it in America versus if you're learning about it in, you know, England, it's going to be a very different perspective
for sure.
on Absolutely. That. And yet it's in books that have been published, and, you know, those aren't changing. That's
right. By the victors, right? History is always written by the victors. It's funny that that's something that's really happening right now, is that a lot of our accepted narrative collectively, and specifically in a Eurocentric white society, has been, you know, like, oh, look at us, we're, you know, amazing people, we came over and found this continent, and we settled it, we made it, you know, civilized, as it were. And then it's like, well, yeah, you also murdered millions of people, you also like destroyed the environment, you've also done a whole bunch of other things that now, as we are waking up as a culture, as we're starting to question our own egos, right, we're able to look at these other cultures that we've essentially decimated, that we've essentially, you know, pillaged and broken over time, and we're listening to them going, you know, we've been saying this forever, and you're like, right, but we were too stupid to listen. Like, we were so caught up in being masters of the fucking universe that we didn't realize you're part of the universe, that like we're in this together. And so a lot of my Native American friends over time have commented that the history of white people coming over was very much that they looked crazy. They looked insane. Like, they were looking at the world like something that they could own, which if you look at it from the natural perspective that you were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, is insane that somehow we can own the land that spawned us.
Yeah. It's like very backwards. I've heard that described as like when the Native Americans, when we, came over, you know, whoever came over, everyone from Europe and whatnot, they were trying to buy the land. And part of the reason that it was so cheap was because the Native Americans didn't think of it as they owned the land. It was more so the land owned them, and they belonged to the land. The land didn't belong to them. So they didn't even comprehend it. So, you know, you were able to buy something like Manhattan for like a few beads or whatever they paid for, like $100 or something. Like, absolutely absurd.
Well, considering everything we've covered in this podcast, and I think we're coming up to an hour and a half, we should probably wrap up episode 1. Episode 2 we're on now. This was an excellent follow-up to episode 1 in that we went a bit deeper on stuff, and we really started talking more about the subjective experience of duality and kind of all the fun stuff that happens on the internal, which is what I was really hoping to get to. It's one thing you and I have talked about a few times, that as much as we can perceive ourselves as being one externally, physically, as a part of a single tapestry, it isn't until you start experiencing the subjective without the narrative that you start to realize, oh, we are all the same awareness. And it's just because it's your thoughts that are distracting you from that insight, right? So
I'm tipping my hand a little bit for the next episode. I'm just like, well, now that we've dabbled, I think we're going to go deeper.
Was that, I feel like it's like a end scene of a show where it's like, and next week we're getting into the subjective experience, because immediately you can see me. I'm like, okay. And you're like almost passively giving me homework, just knowing that, like, oh, he's gonna chew on that one a little bit, and just like putting it out there, a little seed. It's like gonna sprout throughout the week until we talk again next Monday.
I'm so stoked for you, man.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm stoked in general too. It's been so awesome. And I had some stuff that I wanted to like run through here. We're obviously not going to get to it in this episode, but like
we can continue talking after.
Yeah. We'll get that for our Patreon members. But yeah, I have like some stuff, and we didn't even, you know, get into that. We just started rolling, and here we are. It's been almost an hour and a half.
So like, much, you know, to talk about,
10,
right?
10 minutes. Yeah.
So to our listeners, I just want to say thank you again for joining us for this extended episode. Obviously, we're going to continue having these long conversations because they're so much fun.
Extended episode.
Right? That was just the time of our episodes. Hour and a half. That's about as standard. That's about as short as we were going for a while there.
Do get in touch with us on social media. Let us know if you have any comments or questions. We would love to include you in this talk. And of course, if you would like access to recordings of our live sessions on TikTok, or recordings of our conversations after these podcasts, you can actually access them all for $5 a month on our Patreon page, and we will be regularly updating that page with new content as well. So that's definitely one way to keep in touch with us as well. We do live streams exclusively for our Patreon supporters on the third Wednesday of every month as well, from 6 to 7:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, looking forward to next week already.
Likewise. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us, and we will see you on episode 3.
Hell yeah.
Right. That was dope.
That was awesome. Yeah. Sure. Oh, it's fun. It's fun to, like, basically through episode 1 and 2, it was all sort of, you know, like the leaves. It's like talking about the leaves, and then, you know, down the road, it's like getting to the stem of the leaf, and then it's like getting onto the branch. But yeah, it's funny how, and like there were a couple things towards the end there we were just talking about this week, and insights sometimes that I'm like, feel like I have for the first time. It's like, holy shit, I said that then. I thought that was like a brand new sort of thought or insight, but again, it's just from different perspective every time.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it is, but it's under the cover of the same words or similar words. Like, isn't it funny? Because the words change meaning according to the context that they're coming out of. So you could be saying the same thing, but you're not, in fact, saying the same thing at all, because you have changed. So I think that's great. Somebody had mentioned here in the comments, I wonder if those live streams are still on Patreon then. They are. There's over 1,000 hours, I think, of group videos on Patreon. You can go back and check out our very first Patreon groups back from October of 2021. You can see some of the behind the scenes conversations. It's great that we have those for sure. Anybody looking, like, if you see an episode, for example, and you're just like, oh, wow, you know, they really seem to be going through some shit here. Go and check out Patreon on the same day, you know, go and check out that date in the archives, because what you'll find is the after conversation or possibly the before conversation, and you'll get some more context into what drove that episode. Patreon's a fucking gold mine in terms of insights, because as much as we go through what we can here on the episode, it's after the episode that we're just being ourselves. It's after the episodes where you really see us just going, all right, we're just shooting the shit now. We're not podcasting. And that's where you see us really building on what the podcast is going to become later on. Because it's through that ease that the episodes really become formed the next time we do end up sitting down to record them.
I was going to say, it's like, that sounds more like the after the, all right, the podcast is done now. It's like, that's just kind of how we show up to everything now, as opposed to, yeah, the like, all right, it's time to put on my podcast hat to say some stuff. It's like, there isn't much difference anymore. And that's almost been part of the progression, is like even letting go of thinking about this as a podcast at all. Like, I don't know what is it? I guess technically this is a podcast episode, but it's like, yeah, commentary series. We never had the thought of, I mean, at least I didn't, of like, oh yeah, at some point we're going to go back in a couple of years and look at these episodes and like talk about them or recognize insights or have a podcast episode within a podcast episode and that sort of thing. And so, and with the Raws too, like, I think of Raws as, I mean, I think of all of them now as kind of more or less just the discussion. Same for even like, you know, Monday classic episodes when you have a guest, or Being High when you have a guest. Like, it's just, oh, someone else is hanging out, chatting. We don't know you as well. Let's get to know you first, and then we'll dig into some stuff. So it's cool how that's, you know, the during episode and the post episode have kind of blended together in a lot of ways.
We have people who are asking, like, how do I find the videos on Patreon? I've had to scroll forever. I guess there's a filter by date option. Likewise, at some point, we're going to have somebody go through and actually tag some of these episodes a little bit better. Shout out to Derek, who has been for the longest time providing descriptions after the fact for these group chats. So if you're looking for a description of any of the group chats, chances are you'll find it in the comment section immediately below, courtesy of our good friend Derek.
Yes, fuck yeah. Shout out Derek. Those are always awesome to see. It's cool when I see the notification pop up to like read through. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that day. Oh yeah, that was good stuff. I think also on Patreon, I think you can filter it and search, but like, when I've gone back, I've flipped it to like oldest to newest. I think you might be able to do also, or I just scrolled.
I just went and looked. There's actually a filter by date that shows you the month by month of every year. So I just went back to October of 2021, for example, and all the posts are there. You can also sort it by media type. So if you don't want the announcements of the upcoming groups or the Zoom links for the groups that have happened, just filter it out by video and you'll see all the videos that way.
Oh, nice. I did go back a couple weeks ago, which I've mentioned a number of times, like serious aversion to looking at past videos, basically until we started doing the commentary series. That was about the time where I was like, yeah, I went back to some old videos and was watching them, and I was like, yeah, like the words really haven't changed much, and it's starting to be, I'm gaining more of an appreciation for, you know, the journey through whatever, really just relaxing. That's really all it's been. It's just like reasons not being relaxed, and then like without as many reasons, it's like, yeah, might as well throw in. But yeah, going back to some of the Patreon ones are interesting, because that's much more interactive. There is like a casualness to it, but it's also all of a sudden all of these other perspectives involved. And then yeah, there's like it's different, because at the podcast early, like a lot of it I was asking you questions, was a lot of things too, and then kind of going back and forth like, oh, I have some thoughts on that. Whereas the groups aren't so much, they're discussions, of course, but yeah, it's like a different sort of track. You know, the podcast has a certain track, but then the Patreon videos very much have a certain track. And just speaking from my experience, like my comfort with talking in a group, sharing stuff, you know, becoming more comfortable just with that as opposed to, you know, doing a quote unquote podcast episode.
Well, and not only that, but you'll actually see like when certain members of the community who are now pillars in terms of being cornerstones of the conversation and supportive of the community and part of everything that we're doing, you get to see where they came into the conversation and you can see where they started as well, which is incredible because I know that's one of the things I enjoy the most about talking to people on our roundtables or in our Patreon groups is knowing how far they've come to be able to have that conversation. Right. And the same was true with these early episodes with you. I am looking forward to getting into episode 3, which is called the One Step Process, because that really is like the cornerstone of the subjective difference, is that instead of going through a process of letting things go, you can just let it go now. You can let it go now because you're the core of it. And that was something that you really got in this episode that we just covered. And in the next episode, we just fucking broke it wide open. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that one.
Oh, man. Me too. I'm like, all right, soon. I want to dig into that one soon. But so that's cool because earlier on Patreon, we were talking about like, it's cool to have things documented and a few people, including Ben, were sharing that, you know, it's cool to see like documentation. There was a few people there who had also some older videos and talking about that, but like that's fucking sick that we have like Patreon is that for everyone who's ever been involved on Patreon. And there's, you can see that like, oh, I started joining there, oh, I didn't even talk till then, and it's like, and then you start talking and then growth starts from there. But like everyone forgets that period where like, oh, I'm like worried about jumping in now, but I still jump in and I say whatever. I didn't think that was a smart thing to say or whatever, but like there's a point where you weren't even jumping in. So like that's fucking sick that everyone who's ever been on Patreon has that. You don't have to have been on social media at all. You just go to DU Patreon and check that shit out and like, you know, record it and pull from, well, not record, don't do that, but like for your own stuff. Maybe if you want, I actually don't know. Disregard that last point.
just bookmark it, you know, because it's always going to be on there. Like we pay for monthly storage, so that way these videos are always going to be there for the community in the archives, because that is very much where, you know, the value is that you now have a place to go and express yourself, and when you want to look back at that journey, you can. And you know that the only people who are also going to be looking back at that journey are people who are going through the same fucking journey. That is the beautiful part about the Patreon groups, about Patreon as a whole. And I do enjoy that. You know, it's funny. It took me forever to rationalize Patreon because, as you know, I hate charging people. I hate asking for money from people as a whole. But if it wasn't for Patreon, frankly, we wouldn't still be here. Like in so many ways, the first retreats wouldn't have happened. The retreats as a whole wouldn't have happened because we subsidized those to the best of our ability, thanks to the support of our Patreon community. You know, and so I love the fact that, yeah, there's a $5 fee per month to be a tier one. And yeah, there's $25 or $100 to be tier three, but you get fucking shit tons of perks. But you also get a vault for your own personal journey. You get a vault as kind of a video journal of everything that you've been through since you joined the community, everything you've wanted to voice, every time you've resisted voicing something, every fucking obstacle that you've pushed your way through, and all of the celebration from everybody else in that group when they saw you do it. It's always going to be there. I fucking love Patreon. And I love the fact that, yeah, sure, there's a monthly charge, but that also guarantees the fact you have that privacy. You have that privacy as a result.
Yeah, it's really fucking cool. And the privacy component, that's something that's really nice too. Because like most group, they're not like huge groups. Also, most of the time, they're like fairly intimate for the most part, like every single time. And especially Jazz, yeah, tier three on Sundays, those are always a blast. Those are very, we share all sorts of secrets in those. So those are, they're all a fantastic time. But yeah, there's some fun to the tier three on Sundays. And that's where we share, you know, book updates too, which we may have something in the next week or so with that. So
Indeed we may. Indeed we may. Anybody who is interested in getting updates on our book, on our upcoming book, which is rapidly, rapidly coming along, should join us for a Tier 3 call on Sunday, where we will be releasing the details, or at least part of the draft, if not the whole draft, for Chapter 1.
Fuck yeah, be there or be square. But yeah, that's gonna be fun. Well, this has been a blast, dude. This has been oh man, the going back to the old episodes, I like it because it's like that one kind of hits right there. Yeah, it's like I enjoy going just like rewatching. We get to rewatch an episode. It's cool to see.
So, hell yeah. Yeah, no, I love it, and that's the benefit of context again, you know. And I know as a parent, like, you see your kid every day, and then as somebody comes over who you haven't seen in 6 months, and they look at your kid, they're like, holy fuck, is your kid ever grown? And you didn't notice because, frankly, you're there every day, you know. So to be able to look back 2 years ago and go, holy shit, you know, that was me. Wow, was I ever locked up? Or wow, was I ever like trying to prove something to myself or any of that? It's just so useful because you can celebrate how far you've come. And I don't think we do that enough. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This has been a blast. We will see you for another commentary episode in the near future for episode 3, The One-Step Process. I'm stoked for it, man. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.